This is Nat and Ben from Spaceships, and you're listening to our chapter of As the Story Grows.
Welcome to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. I'm Brad Patton. This week, we welcome Nathaniel Fitzgerald and Ben Gooding from the band Spaceships to the podcast. We chat about the long road from pop punk to a solo project that eventually led to Spaceships. Spaceships just released Pillars, which is available on cassette from Friend Club Records. Nat is also a member of Friend Club Records supergroup Bears His Teeth. So we chat briefly about how he got connected to that band. Next week on the podcast, Adam Baker and Matt Hartman from Bears His Teeth will join the show. So lots of content from the Friend Club Records crew coming to your feeds. If you're a patron, this week on After Dark, I'm breaking down Starflyer 59's discography. I've gotten a lot of great feedback on the Hopes Fall and Zayo episodes, and I'm excited to share my take on Starflyer 59. Patreon.com/asthestorygrows. Join the community over on Patreon. Enjoy this week's chat with Nat and Ben from Spaceships.
I grew up in suburbs of South Bend area, a little area called Granger, which at the time was like just more of a sort of middle America everyday place. But then like my, now it's like super hoity-toity suburb that like makes me feel super foreign when I go back there. Well, I say go back there. It's like 5 miles from my house now. Gotcha. My family is very musical. I decidedly was not. I remember an assignment in fifth grade where we were supposed to like do, we're supposed to diagram out our brain based on like what we're interested in. And I remember asking if I had to have music on there, 'cause I was just like, I wasn't into music class at all, whatever. I hated it and I didn't want it in there. And so she told me I had to, and I made like the smallest, little, ugliest color section that I could. But then in middle school, I had to do a music class. And so I didn't want to do choir because I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to do orchestra. I didn't want to do band, whatever. It all sounds super lame. So I joined piano lab instead because a friend said that they had drum sets in there. And they don't have drum sets in there. But they did sit me down at like a keyboard with like the GM127 stock sounds or whatever. And just like, and taught me how to read a staff and like just sitting there playing Ode to Joy, like a different sounds was just like the most like satisfying thing that I had experienced at that point. And so, got really into piano then, then my mom got me a bass in seventh grade, picked up guitar sometime in eighth grade, and then was still like just into like CCM and Weird Al until like sometime when I was 13, my friend gave me some Burn CDs of Project 86, POD, and Zayo. And I was like, oh man, this is it. Like this is what music can do. Crap, man, I'm in.
Awesome. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I grew up in a musical family. Mom and dad, well, not dad, mom, brother. My brother and I have 10 years between us, so I watched him as he got got in a middle school band and high school band and those kind of things. There's a band called Bleach that my mom knew.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys, and they were around our church sometimes, and then got to see them play shows. And that probably led to, when I was 10, my parents took me to Cornerstone, and that was just like, that was it. After seeing that and up close and the grime and grit and the glory of all those bands. Seeing Five Iron Frenzy and POD and Blindside and all that when I was 9 or 10, in that impressionable age, it just got imprinted in my psyche and it has not left.
When did you both start playing in bands?
Oh, shoot. My first band was a pop punk thing called Superhero back when in the summer between 8th and 9th grade. And it was mostly me playing Blink-182 riffs and changing them slightly enough that I thought I could get away with it. And then I didn't act like that band broke up because I was like too controlling, but it's like, I'm the only one who's bringing songs. Like, if you guys want to play a song, bring a song. Like, hilarious. Shoot, I'll play whatever you guys want. No, we kicked out my best friend who was originally the singer because he was just hanging. He would invite girls to practice and just hang out with them and, like, not actually practice. And I was like, what the heck, man? What are you doing? This is supposed to be about the music. But then I got kicked out as well. And then we started another band that morphed through a lot of different members and versions and names until we finally landed on Dog Sees Nom, which is a post-hardcore progressive thing in like 2003 or so. Basically, that's like, I heard Cool Hand Luke's, I fought against myself once, and I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I want to do. I actually started re-recording those songs. Those songs never got recorded, and so I started recording those songs during quarantine, and I'm waiting on the other guys to record their parts still.
That's fun.
Yeah, my first band was called Absence of Presence. It was in middle school. It kind of developed out of the jazz band in like 7th grade. Had like a practice room, and we would get in there with an amp and play Blink-182 songs and whatever else. A lot of the commercial type rock radio that we listened to, Rage Against the Machine riffs. And then the one dad bought a bunch of his instruments, was like, wanted us to play at his parties for his old friends. And that was like a thing. But then some members were in a youth group and we need to play at youth groups. So the songs we were learning for the dad's friends were not youth group songs. So
why not?
That led to our demise. There was a artistic, differences.
Man, I tell you, Blink-182 has so many crappy pop punk bands to answer for. Like, I think they have done so much damage in the world and just inspiring so many bad pop punk bands.
How'd Spaceships form?
Shoot, this is a fun story. So Ben was my waiter once at a Steak and Shake. And I had this solo, like, lo-fi folk project that I think at the time we met was called Nathaniel Fitzgerald versus the Industrial Revolution, which after, like, 3 years of me recording, I was mixing stuff on my laptop waiting for a friend to come by, and he was like, hey, we're gonna have music this rad, and, like, showed it to him, like, yeah, that's cool, and, like, added me on Facebook, whatever. And then, like, it took me, like, friggin' 3 or 4 years to finish that album. And by then I had changed the name to A Rocket Named Justice because I hated saying Nathaniel Fitzgerald versus the Industrial Revolution. it gets stuck in the front of your mouth. Like, it can barely come out. I just hated saying it. So I changed the name. And I was working on a second record for, like, 3 years because it's just, like, me sitting, like, in my dorm room or my apartment or my mom's basement or my church auditorium when I was on staff, just like multi-tracking layers and layers and layers. And Ben, weren't you doing like a hip hop thing at the time?
I had many wayward thoughts and actions. this time period, and there was a part of me that thought that that I should do something hip hop ish related, but no.
So. Yeah, but so it was. So I think I remember it was you made a post asking for like people to send you songs to like put a beat to, and I was like, oh hey, here's some stuff I'm working on, and you're like, do you have anybody playing with you? Like, what's your plan for this? Are you going to play this live? Like, do you have like a band? I'm like, not really. He's like, I will do whatever you want. And so I threw a bass at him. the very first show, he played drums, actually. So Ben is the only remaining member of the only other original member of Spaceships. And he's played everything in the band. But, yeah, so he played bass, and then my friend Wes from my church played drums for a while. And then it started out, we were just playing songs from that record, because what was supposed to be the second Rocket Named Justice record, I realized that I hated saying a Rocket Named Justice as well. And so then I just was like, I originally, a week after the first name change, was like, what if I just change it to Spaceships? And a friend convinced me not to. And then I was getting ready to finish this record, and I'm like, screw it, I'm going, it's Spaceships now. And like, as soon as we started playing the songs live in a room together, like, it completely changed. Like, the energy was completely different. And so it just, like, a little bit of it was like, I kind of regretted that I hadn't played those songs with other people first, because like, yeah, once I heard a band playing them, I realized like, oh, I don't know this. I didn't know this song at all.
Yeah.
I didn't know it at all, but it all worked out. And then we've recorded the last few releases completely live. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Was that first one, I'm a Storm at Sea?
Yes. That was me over a number of years just recording stuff myself and adding way too many layers. And every once in a while I would bring in Wes, our original drummer, if I couldn't play a drum part right. So I can't swing with my kick drum foot. And so there are a couple things. I'm like, Wes, I need you to swing this. Because I can't swing that beat.
But is that why the songs are, I mean, you got long songs in general, but like, yeah. Kind of that long song, like self-indulgent nature of being in the studio too long by yourself and just adding layer upon layer.
I think that's just because I like long songs.
Sure.
We're really into post-rock and post-metal, and we've sort of joked around a couple times about like, because I'm into like 70s krautrock, like German psychedelic stuff. And I'm like, what if sometime we just do like, 22-minute song that's just like an album is one song on the first side and then it's like a few other songs on the B side. We haven't done it yet, but we keep that idea in our back pocket.
That's awesome.
That's awesome for Can.
Yeah, what was it like for you, Ben, joining and finally, did it feel like you'd found your place musically? Or
yeah, absolutely. I think Nat helped bring out some things in my, you know, musical prowess that I didn't realize I had necessarily before. The excitement of getting together has always been what I think I enjoy and Nat enjoys, and now our other members as well.
Yeah. Except I didn't get that enjoyment for several years because I was doing like a solo acoustic singer songwriter folksy thing for a long time.
Yeah, so it's even now in some degrees it's nice because Nat really takes upon himself sort of the burden of the majority of songwriting and sort of allows us
that's an accident.
It allows us to bring our energies and, you know, and creative insights as well. But it's nice to be able to just kind of be somewhat raw in what we do, because we have a framework kind of we're working within. It was interesting joining because Nat had a lot more experience just doing things, live music, and definitely like recording and any of that. I had no idea. And so it's been a learning process for me. It's been awesome.
Yeah. And then at first you learned the terrible secret that all my bass riffs were exactly the same rhythm.
Exactly the same. So.
That's funny. You talk about the musical evolution. I know like Son of a Man has a lot more like heavier riffs on it than I'm a Storm. So talk about the musical evolution.
Part of that is that we got a new drummer in that time.
Okay.
That's maybe not entirely the whole thing. Cause some of those songs were written with Wes and then, Zach, who is our second, we had a brief moment where our fill-in drummer became our permanent drummer and our permanent drummer became like a guitarist with like a sort of pseudo percussion, like half drum set in front of him. Our friends the Foxery had a similar setup where we were like, whoa, that's real cool. So we did that for a minute, but then they both quit the band at the same time. Just life stuff. They both like started new jobs that just were not conducive to any sort of extracurriculars. But so a lot of it was that like Storm at Sea was written to be like sort of this like sort of indie rock, creepy Radiohead-y sort of thing that then when like I heard it with a band, I was like, oh, this is like a different thing. Like it's sort of like more of a post-punk thing. And so we started writing the songs more like in that vein of like, instead of just like all these layers that I can stack on top of each other, it's like, what's the most power we can get out of these three people in a room? And which is now four people in a room. And so started being a lot more minimalist in a lot of the compositions, but then also somewhere between the writing of Son of Man, which was supposed to kind of be like an indie rock record, and recording it. First thing I discovered that I really liked metal again, like, and part of it was like, I just thought that I was ignorant to like most of what metal was until like very cliche answer I know, but Sunbather came out and I listened to Sunbather. I'm like, oh,
I mean,
man,
it's a game changing record. Like,
dude, seriously. but I was like, well, yo, this is like, give me more metal like this. And that's like when I just started to get into like Pelican and Russian Circles and Alcest and Isis and, Cult of Luna and like all these like really heavy, really beautiful bands. And then at the same time, Joel, our drummer, is really into prog metal, like Contortionist and Tesseract and Chon, and Chon is more math rock, whatever. But and then like Ben and I have very similar music roots with like early heavy Christian metalcore. And so like just getting involved in that. So we took what was basically like a indie rock record and just like played it like it was a metal record.
Nice.
And was very intentional about pretending to be a metal band in that time. Because like all of our merch from that time was like very like, there's lots of skulls and lots of like, like really apocalyptic imagery. It was like, yeah, we're a metal band.
Yeah, definitely getting more from the first record to the second, getting more into metal, heavier stuff. We really, I mean, and that sort of is carried on to the new one as well. We really enjoyed, well, getting, yeah, having metal, having like metal E things, you know, booming, droning kind of bass lines and guitars and reverb. It's kind of our signature, is a lot of reverb.
And that's the other thing is like, I built a huge pedal board, like in between the right, like as I was writing Storm at Sea, like, but none of the songs were written. Everything was written on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I'll just put some delay on this instead of like, okay, what can we actually make an atmosphere sound like?
Well, Spaceships just released a fantastic new record called Pillars. Yes. How did you guys get connected with Friend Club Records?
Oh, man. This is... So there is a group on Facebook called Midwest Emo Posting. And the guy who started it, Dan Johnson, was a friend of mine. Like, he was living here in South Bend for a while. And... was going to my church for a bit, and then we like kept in touch as he and his family moved back to Cincinnati. But he started this group, and I got to know a whole bunch of these other people in there, and a lot of those other people are musicians, and a lot of those other people have other bands. And so one of the guys in that circle, Rob Fries, or Rob Frost, I don't know, I've never heard it pronounced out loud. We just chat online. Well, whenever, yeah. So Rob and Dan had this idea. Is like, there's this community that we're a part of that has like a ton of great artists in it. Like, what if like, and Rob isn't particularly musical himself, but he knows good music when he hears it. And he's like, I've got some resources. So what if we start a record label? And so, They just started doing some short runs of cassettes and invited us to be a part of it and put out the cassette for Pillars for it. And it looks great. Ben, I have your copy. I got to get to you. But yeah, it was just sort of like these friends that started this thing that invited us along.
What's it like for you guys doing cassette releases 2020. I feel like it's pretty normal now, but I feel like everybody has their own thoughts on it.
I think it's interesting. Because I've been collecting vinyl for the last, man, maybe almost 13 years. I got into it right around the time that there was like right before the real big uptick.
Yeah.
And so I originally at the time, like basically like most people who were collecting records to be ironic. But now that it's like the thing, it's like actually like the superior physical medium. And so now like for a bit, it seemed like the people who are buying things to be ironic moved to cassette. But now that's like become a thing now too. Yeah. 'Cause like the people that duplicated the tapes, like they actually sound really, really good. Like the first batch of Friend Club releases I got, I was listening to it and I was like, this is really good. This is the best tape I've ever heard, like the best sounding tape I've ever heard. So I think it was a little weird for us because like we've looked into doing tape releases before, looked into doing stuff with Son of Man. Even have thought about doing a reissue of Storm at Sea on cassette. But like for this time around, like Friend Club just took care of all of it. And so like we're really off from the behind the scenes. And so it's just sort of like, here's this tape that we made that's beautiful and gorgeous. And it's a great looking tape as well.
Yeah.
But it's like, I I haven't had anything to do with this. I just sent them the music and the art.
You guys have a lot of cool things up in hopes for doing on your Bandcamp page. One of the things I want to ask about, VHS tape, a visual companion album on VHS. What is the idea behind that?
That is just... So a while ago, in a past life, before the virus came, I hosted house shows. And there is a band called Embracer that drove 9 hours each way, 9 hours one way for what I thought was going to be a tour, but it was just a weekend shot that we ended up being the only show on because the other show dropped.
Oh no.
And we were talking about it and I was like, man, that's such a bummer. And he's like, man, like, you know, if you're a touring band these days, you're basically just a merch company. Which really, like, I was like, oh, what can we do there? All right, okay. And so my wife runs a makerspace, and so we've had the capability of making a lot of different merch ideas. And it's just always been, I mean, not always, but, like, since that conversation has been, like, this idea of, like, okay, like, what can we do to like, market this in a different way? Because people can just stream music now. But I had the idea of, it was like sort of a passing thought of like, you know, we have like cassette tapes. Like, what if we had like videotapes? And it's like, nah, okay, never mind. But then I still had that idea of like, oh, but what if we had like a full audio, like a full video collage of the whole album? And I was like, that'd be way too much work. But then I ended up doing it anyway. Because that's just... I have a compulsion, and I'll have an idea, and I'm like, that's not realistic, and I'm like, I'm gonna do it though.
Do you think it's like the pandemic and just extra time extra time to be creative, or is it just like you're a band and there are no rules and you can do whatever you want to get your music out there these days because streaming's gonna drive everything, but like anything else you do is cake and for people who are interested?
I think it's a combination because we already would have this stuff before that, even if there was no pandemic here, we sold a hot sauce. Like we've already like had like weird stuff that we've done. And we actually, there was like a, it wasn't as like detailed a video collage, but like we made a video collage for Son of Man that we would like play on a projector over certain shows. Yeah. And so I think maybe the pandemic made it more necessary.
Yeah.
Because you can't play a show now. So, and we had like a full April book, like we had a tour that we were going to go on in June that we were in the middle of booking when everything shut down. And it's like that's how we were gonna pay for everything, but can't do that right now. So we gotta think of other ways, and so it's just sort of a anything goes, sort of like we do it anyway, but now we have to because it's all we can do.
Yeah, I saw you got a vinyl pre-order, and it's just went when we have the finances to fund this.
Right, yeah. Son of Man, we actually did a Kickstarter, Indiegogo, maybe? We did some crowdfunding thing, but we launched it way too early. I launched it when we were in the studio still. We recorded over a weekend, and I think we left the studio on Saturday night and then put up the page. But then it was like, okay, like, so we got all this money in a month, but the record wasn't mixed for a year.
Oh my God.
And then it took another. Yeah. And then I tell you what, I took terrible records at that time. I've learned a lot since then. But I found some t-shirts that people ordered through the crowdfunding that I'm like, oh shoot, did I send you this? And they're like, no.
Oh man.
Okay. I'll send it to you. Right. So for this one, I wanted to be a much much, much fast. We didn't want to play that game at all. So the original idea was that we would not announce the album at all until we had vinyl in hand. And then we would go and do it, but pandemic. So
yeah. Pandemic ruined a lot of things.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Pillars. Is there a theme to this record, a theme that runs through the songs, or?
Kind of accidentally. I'm trying to think of the timeline. Shortly after, it was a few weeks after Son of Man came out. I'm on staff at a church. And a few weeks after that album came out, we found out that our pastor had had an affair. And this was we had a husband and wife pastor team. And then like all of a sudden it's like, that's okay. So this unit that's been leading the church is now not a unit. And like, but there is a lot of like, and also they were my friends as well. Like, it's not like, it's just like my boss or my leader or whatever. Like these are close friends of mine who are walking through this complete crisis. And then like in the next several months of, trying to navigate, how do you lead this organization anymore? Like, how do you lead a body like this? Like, is the community going to survive? Like, is the marriage going to survive? Like, what's life going to look like moving past? Like, what are the reasons that a person would have for staying in a marriage like this? And it all kind of, it was a heavy while. Yeah. And it sort of accidentally became a concept album in that when we sat down and like pieced together the songs for everything, it's like, oh, I was going through some stuff when I put these words down. And so a lot of it is just navigating that crisis and just like, what are the things? Because Son of Man, like the big theme there was sort of, it was about we talked a lot about the world ending. But then like, it came out and then like, in a lot of ways, my world kind of did end. Mm. And so it was like, okay, now that like I've sung this song Solid Ground at every show for years, like what's that mean when the rubber hits the road? Like what's it actually mean to survive a cataclysm like that?
Yeah.
And not everything's about that, but most of the songs are in that vein.
It's a thematic element that runs through it.
Yeah. In different ways. And it's not even like there's a common thread. It's just each of the threads are informed by that event.
Well, the pandemic has struck. You can't tour, but you just put out a new album. What's the future for Spaceships look like?
We're doing a lot of podcasts. that's like the biggest, like, that's as close to touring as we can get right now.
Yeah.
We're doing the podcast circuit, the unit, just talking about it. Yeah.
We will tour.
We'll tour eventually, yeah. In the meantime, it's just like gonna make music however we can, like we have written some songs like through this. We did a one show during the pandemic and it was absolutely terrifying, but it was a bad day.
Oh man. That's funny.
Yeah, but we're just waiting it out, same as anybody.
Gotcha.
Trying to stay creative in the meantime.
Cool. I Nat, how do you, I know kind of the backstory of this, but how'd you get involved with Bears His Teeth?
Bears His Teeth, like, that's the same emo group.
Yeah.
It's just it's in literally the same group chat that I'm in with Rob and Dan, and Ben's actually in that group chat. He pops up every once in a while to talk about Roth IRAs and being a new father. There was just a conversation one day of like Matt Hartman, the guitarist from Bears His Teeth, was in. He was in a couple of hardcore bands back in the day, Dead to Fall and Subsist. One or both was on, I think, Victory Records. And then this guy, Adam Baker, who is a pastor now, but used to be in a few bands, used to be a touring chaplain. And they were just talking about like, man, if I was in a band right now, I would want to make music like whatever. And then like, oh yeah, absolutely. Me too. And then like, we're all just talking about it. I'm like, yo, like, don't leave me out of this conversation because I want in on whatever this is. And we just like started kicking demos around and something happened with the guy who was supposed to play bass. And so original drummer moved over and we're like, well, who do we know who plays drums? And just so happens that Adam Baker knows Matthew Putman really well of Living Sacrifice, Norma Jean, Esocaris, Unwed Sailor fame. And
To name a few.
Yeah. He's the reason that our featuring members of list is so long. It's just
him.
The long con that I've joked is that it's just my whole purpose is just to been like to elevate Spaceships to that same level, to be like Unwed Sailor, Living Sacrifice, Norma Jean, Spaceships. it's like the same way that like back in the day, like the train companies in Maine would put lobster on the same plate as steak to make it seem just as fancy as steak, even though like lobster used to be prisoner food. And there were like laws that you couldn't serve lobster too often because it was cruel and unusual punishment. But you just put it on the same place and people think it's just as good.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping happens with, for Spaceships Through Bases.
Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our theme song was written and composed by the legendary Bob Nana. If you like what you hear, subscribe on iTunes and give the show a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, click on the Patreon link at asthestorygrows.com. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening. I never thought